play that I want to tell you about is that Romeo and Juliet. Now, there is real fun. It's a story about how this boy and girl was in love of one another, don't you see? It is. And everything would have been all right for them, except that their daddies didn't get along. They didn't. And when the play opens, Juliet's daddy is throwing this big fancy dress ball, and he invited the whole town to be there, but he didn't invite none of Romeo's people to come. And his buddies learned of it. And they put him up to slipping on a costume and slipping in at this party. And he was a spunky kind of a boy, and he done it. I think. He done it, and he got in there, and everything was going good. Till all of a sudden, this girl, Juliet, come down the stairs. And he was so struck by her that he give a soliloquy right there. He did. And it wasn't about being or not being. It was about doing or not doing. Well, the do's, they won out over the don'ts. And so what he done, he got her by the hand and started to take her out in the yard. And we'll never know what it was that they're going to do out there. We won't, because this fella Tybalt recognized Romeo for who he was and come up on him trying to pick a fight. But Juliet's daddy, he didn't want no bloodshed right there in his living room. He didn't. So all he done, he run Romeo off. But Romeo didn't go straight home. No, he didn't. He went out and hid in the yard till everybody left the park. And then when they had all went, he popped up and looked around. And he seen this light come on way off yonder. And he says to himself, he says, hark. He says, what light by yonder window shines? He did. And let me tell you, Juliet stepped out of her bedroom window onto this stoop. And she give a soliloquy. She did, friends. And somewhere in it, she says, Romeo, Romeo. She says, wherefore art thou, Romeo? And he popped up and says, I'm right here. Thanks. Well, as it happened, there was this great big pea vine growing up to where she is standing. And so he clumb up it, and that is where they had that balcony scene. And they hadn't been there but just a few minutes till he asked her to marry him. And that shows that he was an honorable boy about it all. Well, she says, when? And he... Well, he says, now, and that shows that he wasn't up there for no light courting. He wanted to get on with it. Back then, the reason everybody lived in castles was that there was so many of them to put up at night. Well, there was so many of them there that they had to keep a preacher on duty day and night. Fellow Friar Lawrence was his name. And so Romeo and Juliet, they went downstairs and woke him up and told him what it was that they wanted to do, and he thought that was all right. So he married them right there. But then, don't you see, it was a question of where they was to spend the night, things being how they was and all. And Friar Lawrence told Romeo that he ought to go on home that night. And Romeo, he didn't take to it too hard. He didn't, but he did. He went on home that night, and then Romeo thought that he'd better go off and lay low till things cooled off. And while he is gone, friends, Juliet's mama took a great notion that Juliet ought to get married. And then she was in a bind. She was. Because she didn't want two husbands, because she figured that Romeo would be enough to take care of by himself. And so she went back down to Friar Lawrence to see what she ought to do. And he mixed her up a drink, and she drunk it, and she fell out across the bed there, and everybody thought she is dead. And they had this big, pretty funeral, and laid her out in this family tomb and all. And before that Friar Lawrence could get word to Romeo that she wasn't really dead, some of them mean boys that lived in that town told him that she was dead. And he figured life didn't hold nothing for him. So he went out and got him this big can of lye to drink. So he went over to this tomb where it was she was laid out, and he opened the door of it, and he says, "Oh, my love, oh, my wife." He did. And he went in, and he drunk the lye and kissed her and says, "With this kiss, I die." And he fell out across to that. And he was a big boy for his age. He was. And the impact of him, a falling on her, woke her up. And she woke up, didn't know what was going on, and she looked out and seen Romeo a-laying dead. And then she figured life didn't hold nothing for her. And then she took his knife and run it into herself, and she expired. She did, friends. And the moral of it is, if you've got a boy that courts a girl that you don't like, or the other way around, if you don't want the expense of a double funeral on you, the best thing for you to do is to let them have a cheap wedding. Well, what I want to do, I'm trying to help my wife support me in the different ones, don't you see?
Yeah.
And I'm selling these books called Five Great Tragedies that was wrote by this fellow named William Shakespeare that lived over here in the old country here a while back.
Yeah.
And I really would love to see if I couldn't unload some of them on you all. And the play that I want to tell about this morning is that play Hamlet. Now, it was named after this young boy, Hamlet, that appears in the play. And he lived, him and his mama and daddy, lived in this castle over in the old country where it was that his daddy was king over this land. And also living with them there was a fellow named Claudius. Now, Claudius was Hamlet's uncle on his daddy's side. And before the play ever opens up, this fellow Claudius plotted and killed Hamlet's daddy so that he might gain the throne, and then married, he did, and then married Hamlet's mama, and that made him Hamlet's stepdaddy. And, well, I'll do try to remember that, because you will need it later on. And, well, there was a whole mess of other people that lived there with him, too, guards and soldiers and king's heifers and different things like that, don't you know? And remember, before the play ever opens up, Hamlet's daddy is already dead. And when it opens up on these two soldiers that was a standing guard one night, and this ghost come up on them. And one of them seen it, and he says, "Hark." He says, "No, they said hark a whole lot back then." He says, "Hark, what thing is this I see before me?" And the other one says, "Let us flee and seek out young Hamlet, for behold, it bears a visage like unto his father." And it did, too. It looked just exactly like him. No, you couldn't have took a better picture uptown. And they went in the house to get Hamlet, and Hamlet seen the ghost and seen that it was the ghost of his daddy. And the ghost made him swear to seek out vengeance on his former uncle and present stepdaddy, Claudius. And, well, Hamlet sweared it, and then he is wandering about the castle, wondering how he is going to go about it, don't you see? And while he is going along there, he come up on this young girl, Ophelia, and he says to himself, "Hark, I see Ophelia fire." And, well, that led me to believe he was in love of her, because he started talking to her, and while he's talking, he looked over there, and he seen somebody hiding behind the cedar chest. Right off, he knowed the fellow was in on the plot. So what he done, he took out his sword and he run the fella. He run him upstairs and he run him downstairs. But the fella got away, and it made Hamlet mad, and he come back to Ophelia mad at her. And he hit her in the face and he throwed her on the ground. And he says, "Get thee to a nunnery,
for thy face is a vile thing before my eyes. Now it was right there that Hamlet first started acting like that he wasn't all thy. Right there. Well, he figured that if the people that had plotted and killed his daddy thought that, you know, he wasn't right in his mind, why, they'd talk around him, and he might learn something that way. But I'm here to tell you they didn't. There was people a-peeping at that boy everywhere he went. One evening, he seen a fellow hiding behind a curtain over there. So this time, he is ever so cautious. He eased out his sword and edged over to where it was the curtain was rustling. And he run the fella through. The fella fell, and he parted it, and seen it was a fella Polonius. Now, I didn't tell you about him a while ago, but that's who it was. So what he done, he picked him up and took him over and throwed him out this window in this little creek that run by, and none of them ever missed him after that. See how he's working everything out? And it was right here that this sideshow crowd come through. Carnival feet, kind of a Don McNeil breakfast club of that time. Don't you see? And they put on a play exactly the way that the murder of Hamlet's daddy was committed. And when they come to the place that the king was killed, Hamlet's stepdaddy got up out of his chair and he put up his hands and he says, cease. He says, cease this wild carrying on and evil acting in the palace of the king. Ain't that a sight? And he run them all out of the house. And it was right there that Hamlet first knew that he was going to have to get even with his stepdaddy for killing his daddy. And it was also right there that Hamlet's stepdaddy knew that he was going to have to get shut of that boy or he'd have trouble out of it. So what he done, he fixed up this sword fight for Hamlet and a fellow named Laertes. And he invited the whole castle to be there. And he come out of the house carrying two swords, and he give poor Hamlet a plain sword, and he give Laertes a sword with a poison point on it. And he had a boy to come out of bearing a bowl full of poison wine for Hamlet to drink just in case he won the sword fight. And he put up his hands and he says, lay on. And they went to it, and Hamlet, he had back Laertes, he had back Hamlet, and back and forth a while, till pretty soon Hamlet got cut on the arm for that poison sword. And he commenced to weaken, but he fit harder than he ever did. And he kept a backing Laertes off and a backing him off till he run him through. And Laertes, he fell dead. And Hamlet went over to take a drink of that poison wine. And his mama, she noted as poison. She took it and drunk it herself, and she fell dead. And then Hamlet, with his last breath, went up to his stepdaddy and run him through. And the stepdaddy fell dead. And then you see, Hamlet, he had done about all he could do, and he failed there. And that is where that fella give that pretty speech about good night, sweet prince, and the play is over. And like I said before, friends, I got a whole mess of them books out here in my suitcase. I'd love to unload some of them on you all. And for them of you that loves to read a whole lot, for you all, I am proud to say that my company also puts them out in comic book form. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, friends. And I believe, Mr. McNeil, that this morning I'll talk about the ballet.
The ballet?
Yeah, you know, toe dancing.
Yes.
Different things. I think folks ought to know a little more about that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Now, the piece I'm going to tell about it is that ballet, Swan Lake. Now, the fine thing about ballet, friends, is that the dancers ain't allowed to say nothing out loud. But they ain't. But every time they move anything, it means something. And every step has got a French name to it. Now, this ballet, Swan Lake, opens up on this young prince that is having his coming-of-age birthday party. And all the guests come up, and they're doing a step called the pas de trois. Now, that is where you circle your foot three times and kindly, you know, kick up high. And that means there's going to be good times had tonight. It does, and we may be up till three. And while they was doing that, why, all these swans come up on the stage, and they is being led by one great big white swan in particular that was wearing a gold crown. So the boys, very quiet, got their rifles and party trod over to them. and was just before of killing them swans, when all of a sudden, as if by magic, that was wearing the gold crown disappeared. And there standing in his place was this beautiful young girl, and she was doing a step called the Rounds of Jamba. And that means I am a girl. And she was, hey. I am fired to tell you. And so right off, don't you see, the prince knowed he was in love of her. And he done a step called the fouet. And that's where you hold one finger up and one hand down and just kindly turn. And look. And that means I think you're the prettiest thing I've ever seen, and I'm going to flat kiss you. And he listened. He started to, but the girl done a step called the pas-de-deux. And that means take your cotton-picking hands off of my shoulder. I appreciate it. The prince was a pretty good boy, so he stopped right where he is at. But as it turned out, all of them swans was really pretty girls. And they had had this curse put on them saying they couldn't never be girls again until some young boy would give his life for them. And why, when the prince learned of it, he done a kind of a muscle-flexing man leap that meant, I'll give my life for them. And so this great rain come. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it wasn't no ordinary rain. It was a frog strangler. The water kept coming up and coming up and coming up, and the prince took this young girl up on this high hill. See, he thought he'd put in what time he could while he had the chance. But let me tell you, it didn't help much. The water kept on coming up, and it got up about chin high. And then they done a step called the soubresaut. That's a nice French word, by. And that's where you get up on your toes and wave your hands like that. And that means I am drowning. And they did. They all drowned it, the whole screaming outfit of them. But you see, what the prince didn't know, and that's what makes it such a pretty story, was that they all come to life again. And the boys, they were still boys, but the swans was all pretty girls. So the prince, he married that that was wearing the gold crown. And the rest of the boys, they took their pick of what was left. And they wound up the ballet doing a step called the ensemble a la quatrimer a la derrière. And I don't know for sure, friends, what that means. But I think I do. I think I do, and pay close attention to it. I think that it means, save your Confederate money, boys. The South's gonna rise again.